Hello there, my name is Toby. The message you're about to listen to is titled Believers on a Mission. During a retreat with some young people, most of whom were undergraduate students who would soon be graduating as at the time, I used this teaching to encourage them and to remind them of the need to remain focused on the task of the Great Commission. In this teaching, I mentioned a few organizations, and of course, I don't have anything against those organizations. I believe that every Christian can, and when the opportunity comes, should be able to make a honest living working for these organizations or any other honest organization for that matter. However, I believe that believers, no matter what they have chosen as a career, whether to serve in an established organization or they want to be entrepreneurial and start a good business, in whatever field or in whatever path they choose to tread, every believer is on a mission. Listen into this teaching and understand in full detail what I mean. I'll be right back after. A believer on a mission. That's what I'll be speaking about. A believer on a mission, but I've subtitled it A Believer on a Mission at the Graduate Junction. You know, when you are traveling, you have various towns, you have various bus stops, you have various, you know, landmarks that you see on the road. But on this journey, the believer is at the graduate junction. So when you reach the graduate junction, what do you do? Where do you turn? And these are the things that we will be discussing this evening from scriptures. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts. Acts has an interesting story of Paul on his missionary journey, his second missionary journey. He had been to Thessalonica. We studied the book of Thessalonica. He had a brief stay there until they came to chase him away. He went to Berea, and those people from Thessalonica followed him, and then they had to send him away from Berea too. But they pushed him to Athens. When you hear Athens, you might not really know what Athens really is, but bringing Athens to present day, 21st century, Athens will be a mover and shaker of our world, something parallel to probably Hollywood, to Wall Street, something parallel to Silicon Valley in California, something parallel to, you know, this orb where things happen. Athens was then the seat of knowledge. This is where the philosophers were. There was no knowledge that didn't come from Athens. If it didn't come from Athens, it is not knowledge. And then what they used to do in Athens was they used to debate, you know, like what we will have in a parallel of our academic journals today. Everybody will bring your own view, your own research, and then you come. And everybody would debate, like we have in academic journals, like we have in textbooks, academic textbooks, where everybody, your own opinion, you debate, and then your peers are there to review the things you say, and if it doesn't make sense, they will throw it out. They will call you a babbler. Mm. Not a babber, a babbler. And Paul found himself in Athens, and then he was, you know, I wanted to say driving through the city. He was walking through the city, and then he saw a lot of idols, a lot of temple, worshipping all sorts of gods and all these things. So that's where we're going to pick, you know, the story from. Let's read from verse 16. It's going to be a pretty long read to verse 34, I think, yes, the whole, for the rest of the chapter. Acts 17, from verse 16 to 34. He said, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace, day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicureans and Stoic philosophers, these are like school of philosophies. They have, this would be like publishers of journals today, you know, different schools of thought. So these two different schools of thought began to debate with him, you know, like a peer review we do today. Some of them ask, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remark, it seems to be advocating foreign god.
They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus. Areopagus is like the Senate, where the learned of the learned sit. So they took him there he said, "May we know what this new thing is it that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange things to our ears, and we would like to know what you mean." All the Athenians and the foreigners who were living there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. That's what they do there. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious, you are superstitious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you: the God who made the whole world and everything in it. It is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needs anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he had made all the nations, and that they should inhabit the whole world. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, 'We are his offsprings.' Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like a gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skills. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. He has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof to this man, to everyone, by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, and others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' And that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them are Dionysius, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman, Damaris, and a number of others." May the Lord bless the reason of his word.
Amen.
So Paul here is bringing the gospel to Athens, and then he did something. I want you to go carefully and read in verse 17. He said, "So he reasoned in the synagogue." When they said he reasoned, he was presenting the gospel logically. He was presenting the resurrection of the dead in logical form to these people. That's where they said he reasoned. But there are two places where he reasoned. Okay? He said he reasoned in the synagogue. In the synagogue are both the Jews and God-fearing Greeks. Those are proselytes. Those are people that are not Jews but have an inclination towards the God of the Jews. And then the second place is where? Where? In the marketplace. In the marketplace, day by day, those who happened to be there. And when I saw these scriptures, I realized that Paul, who is one of the, of course, not one, the greatest apostle of the early church, came to Athens, preached in the synagogue, and preached in the marketplace. What he was doing there in the marketplace is the same thing he did in the synagogue. He reasoned with them. He did not go to the marketplace to sell. He could have sold in the marketplace because he himself was a tent maker. Mm-hmm. He had produce to sell in the marketplace. But he went to the marketplace to reason with them. And I will be just opposing between a synagogue, which for us will be the church, okay, mm-hmm. and then the marketplace, which for us will be the secular work or secular job that some of us will do, or that most of us will do. Okay, now, I want to take you on a journey of history. While Jesus preached in Jerusalem, it was occupied at that time by the Romans. The Romans were the power that be. Think of the U.S. today. Mm-hmm. It was the Roman government of those days. They paved the road around the world. The whole world spoke, you know, their language. The way they wanted it is the way the things were. They will appoint king in your own land and control the king and control the people through the king. Mm-hmm. They were the world superpower. And then Jesus started saying some strange things. We can see in Matthew chapter 24, and he was saying how the things will be, how these things will be so disastrous, cataclysmic things, and he eventually prophesied that they would destroy the temple. You know, long story short, the Romans came into Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. Decades later, the Roman Empire disintegrated into 10 different smaller empires. During this period, they started persecuting the church terribly. The emperors, they were terrible despots that persecuted the church and did terrible things. And then one emperor came in and he changed the whole thing. And then he kind of liked Christians. And then the hatred for Christianity and the persecutions for Christians within the Roman Empire changed. And then Christianity became the official religion of the Roman Empire. That allowed for the rise of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, Rome was a very great power. It fell, disintegrated into smaller, minor powers, but the church rose and became very strong. Then the church was on and on for years, had parley with government, put their hand into politics, messed up the economy, forgot the Bible, and so on and so forth. And then the church began to weaken again. There was what they called the Reformation. The Reformation came up, and then we, like I said, I used to call us, the Protestants, we came out of that. And then the gospel spread around about Europe. And then the Crusaders began. The Crusaders began, and they were persecuting Christians in Europe, especially particularly in England, and then they decided to leave in search of a newfound land. They sailed from England all the way to America, found America, and said they will stay here, this is the Newfoundland, and started the nation of America on Christian values, because these are Christians that left their hometown looking for a safe haven. Why have I said all this history? It's because now when you get to the point of America, it's a recent history, you can pick up from there, that America became a very great nation, based on Christian value, and it's kind of like the best, kind of like the greatest nation today on earth. But even from current news that you read, you realize that America is losing grip of being the greatest nation, politically, economically, even military-wise. And that says something. What it says is that there is no kingdom or there is no institution on this earth that lasts forever, that endures. Everything passes away. Hebrews chapter 12 says that once again there will be a shaking. And then this shaking will happen and everything will be shaken. Mm-hmm. Only the thing that cannot be shaken will remain. Mm-hmm. And we know there is only one thing that cannot be shaken. It is the church of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Every other thing will be shaken. I checked the 1,500 companies in 1960, the top five. We had General Motors, we had Ford, we had General Electric, we had ExxonMobil, and then we had, I can't remember what the fifth one was, in 1960. The worth of the one on top, which was General Motors, was less than $12 million. Today is about $100 million, mm-hmm. like plus inflation, $100 million. I checked in 2005, the top five Fortune 500 company, all the five that were in 1960, only one was there in 2005. And I checked now, the ones in 1960, none. Mm-hmm. We have Apple, we have Walmart, mm-hmm. we have some other ones. And then the one on top, Apple, was worth 46 billion or thereabout. And the one on top in 1960 was worth only 12 million. That is like 4 times 450 of that's worth in about 40, 50, 80 years. It shows us that There is nothing, there is no institution that endures. That is why companies and countries, you know, I talked about countries, don't, nations and powers don't endure, institutions don't endure. Mm-hmm. That is why all these nations, they know that they are on shaking ground because there is a shaking. Mm-hmm. It might not be an earthquake, but there is a shaking over time. Time itself is a shaking. Mm-hmm. And these things, they shake off with time. And that is why nations and organizations employ a strategy called espionage. Mm-hmm. What they do is that they have an organization or they have a unit that they use to go and spy into, you know, a potential enemy or a potential competitor, get the information from them, or the espionage person will be there to tear down that particular competitor so that they will continue to reign. And of course, you know, in the US it's called CIA, in the UK it's called MI6, Russia KGB, Turkey, NIA, Nigeria, I know that fast. Nigeria, NIA, I think, National Intelligence Agency, Canada, CSIS, all every country in the world, they have their own secret service in which they used to go and spy other countries and, you know, try to bring them down and get information. You remember the pastor, Andrew Pastor, that just arrested in Turkey that has been said to be a CIA agent. And what these people do is that when they enter that country, before they leave their country, your identity is Ozie Momo. That is your identity. But when you're going into that country, they give you an entirely different identity. You go undercover, under a new identity. And I want, as I'm saying this, I want you to be just opposing it with a believer in your mind, because I will still tie it down. You go into that country as an espionage. You leave your old identity in your old country. You know, as a movie I watch called Spy, this lady that acts comedy, you know, she wanted to be a spy. You know, they wanted to go undercover, and then she said, what identity will we give you? She said she wants to be a smart saleswoman. They said, no, you can't be a smart saleswoman. Look at the way you are. You are just going to be a sit-at-home mom or something. They have to give you a different identity. And then you will go into that nation and just live a normal life. You're going to have ID card. You're going to get a job. You probably get married. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay bills, you're going to go to hospital, you're going to live a normal life. You might even get married and give birth to children in that country. But you are not a citizen of that country. You are not even an ordinary person in that country. But every other person that walks on the street, you have a neighbor. They think you are normal, but you are not normal. Because if they can go and pull your file in that country, and they will see that, you've been in this country, you schooled there, primary school, you schooled there, secondary school, but you are not. You are an espionage. And C.S. Lewis said something. C.S. Lewis said that there's no square foot, rather, on this earth that is free. It's either it is owned by God or counter-owned by the enemy. Mm-hmm. In other words, there is no free space. Every inch is honed by God or counter-honed by the enemy. And when the espionage, when the spy person goes into that country, he's going there with the interest of his country at heart. Mm-hmm. He will get a normal job. Mm-hmm. But he's just going to do everything that he's doing in that country is to be able to infiltrate the ranks in the country, to pull the country down, to get vital information from the country and give it back to his own country. Mm-hmm. And they do it in organizations too. They will send a staff from one organization, maybe great giants that are competing, maybe Apple or Samsung. Somebody will be hired in Samsung, but they will not know he's an Apple staff. Mm-hmm. Apple is paying him, Samsung is paying him. Mm-hmm. But he will rise through the ranks, get all the information and be divulging it to the competitor. And Jesus said something. Jesus said, when he was leaving, he told his disciples that I'm sending you. I'm sending you on an espionage. Sending you on an espionage among wolves. And Unfortunately, when we as Christians get into the foreign country where we are sent to as espionage, we forget our own country. Mm-hmm. We rise through the ranks, and then we say, ah, man, this salary is fat. This country is not bad. This organization is not bad. And then you go rogue. Because I have had a lot of discussions with, you know, believers, and when I ask, what's your purpose? You're an espionage. What's your mission in this country? My mission in this country is to become the MD CEO of Microsoft. And I'm like, oh, okay. My mission is to become the greatest Nollywood actor or greatest whatever. If you remember the Acts 17 that we read, Paul reasoned with them in the synagogue. Let me talk about synagogue first. Reasoning in the synagogue is for the people that are, know that their vocation. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not talking about calling now. Mm-hmm. We are all called. Mm-hmm. I don't want to overbeat that. We are all called, and we know that here that we are all called. Mm-hmm. But some of us, all of us have been called, but some we have their vocation mm-hmm. in the church. Unfortunately, not all of us can be, you know, pastors and then get salaries and feed, you know, from that. Mm-hmm. However, majority of us as espionage, remember the pastor himself that is in the church is also an espionage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The rest of us will have our vocation outside of the synagogue, which Paul here is the marketplace. Mm-hmm. But if you believe that your dream is to become the MD CEO of that organization, then you have gone into the marketplace not to reason with them. Paul went into the marketplace to reason with them. And when he was reasoning, they said, this man is talking about Jesus and the resurrection. Mm-hmm. Paul did not go into the marketplace to get a stall, Esau, mm-hmm. and started selling his tents and said he is anointed to make special tents by the Lord. In the marketplace. Definitely, majority of us will end up in the marketplace. Hallelujah. But our mission in the marketplace is not to get a stall mm-hmm. and set up our enterprise and begin to sell. But if we go there and start, you know, shouting on the street, we will blow our cover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we will get a stall.
Mm-hmm.
So we will set up our merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But we are spies.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, who are you? You bring out your fake ID card. But you are there to reason with them about Jesus and the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So when you now get to the other country, and then all your dream and your aspiration is to be what the people of that same country
mm-hmm.
are looking for,
mm-hmm.
then you have gone rogue.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that is bothering the church now. They say the Islamization of Europe, the secularization of America.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it's nothing to worry. The church has nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of these things will endure. None will end here. Time, they will fizzle out.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? As they are fizzling out, the church is emerging.
Mm-hmm.
The church is emerging.
Mm-hmm.
But the church will not just emerge because it is the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's because people are undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord will send us to different places.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us will go back home. Some of us will go to other countries,
mm-hmm.
Asia, Europe, the Americas. But remember that you are undercover.
Mm.
Remember that you are on a mission. They said that in America, in the 60s, that in Southern America, because, you know, that is where everything is happening, Texas, California, Florida, you know, that's where the happening places. They said, in the 1960s, somebody was saying that in 40 years, there will be no church in Southern America, because Southern America will become totally secularized. Hollywood would have taken over, blah, 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 and all those things. But today, there are more churches in Southern America than in the 1960s. There are more Christians in Southern America than in the 1960s. Because you can look at the statistics and say, in the next 10 years, there will be more Muslims in Europe than Christians. But I tell you, in the next 10 years, we'll be here, and there will be more Christians in Europe than Muslims. Mm-hmm. Because the church endures. Every other system, every other institution will be shaken. So don't spend your life trying to invest in institutions. Don't spend your life trying to invest in anything that will be shaken. If I spend my life trying to build any university, it will be shaken. And my life's investment will go down the drain. The best universities today, where I was listening to a theologian, I want to be a president of a theological seminary, so I'll use this as an example. I was listening to a theologian, and he said, the greatest theological seminaries of those days are irrelevant now.
Yeah.
Because they've grown liberal, and nobody wants to go there anymore, like Princeton. Wow. And nobody wants to go there anymore.
Yeah.
So if God has called somebody to be, if somebody wants to be a president of a theological seminary in the 1960s, and invested his life to build that theological seminary, he will look down from heaven today and say that all he has wasted, all he has spent his life building is a waste.
It's a waste, yeah.
But even as a president of a theological seminary, I'm undercover. What is my aim? The souls man. My aim is not a position. My aim is not a visa. And by the way, you know that your future does not depend on a visa.
Yeah.
My future does not depend on the value of dollar to Turkish lira, dollar to naira, euro to pounds. And you see, as Christians, this should not just be the things that we hear. It should be, and when you are thinking about it, and you catch yourself thinking about it, cover your eyes and apologize. Like I said, God is sending everybody into places. We are like, you know, that salt shaker. And you know, this is how God is doing use. And we were discussing it earlier today, that this place is transitional. This is how God is doing use. You know, that salt shaker. Just scatter us like this. But wherever we land, boom, we are undercover. We are an espionage. And what are the things that we should remember? That our allegiance is to our home country. And not to the present country that we have. We should remember that whatever job we are doing, and whatever role we have assumed, and whatever new identity we have assumed in that country is not the true us. It's who we are back home that we are, not whatever we are. Because even in that country, we will marry, we will have children, we will pay tax, and pay light bill and water bill, and pay school fees. But that is not us. We are undercover. So when we land there, we are always thinking about how can I serve my own country in this place? When we are rising through the ranks, how am I infiltrating this place to be able to serve my own country? They are paying us in that organization, no, but we are not for them. As a matter of fact, if you go and work in Microsoft, you are working to tear down Microsoft, because Microsoft will not last at the end of the day, but the church will endure. So we are serving the purpose of our home. That's our mission. And we should do everything we have to make sure that we remain under the cover. Because you remember, you watch all these espionage movies, and then the guy would go and fall in love. The guy would go and fall in love. And then, if we forget, especially James Bond, if you used to watch all those old school James Bond, he's the one. If we go and forget,
you can take the chair there.
That is an espionage. And then if we go and fall in love. And then, unfortunately, his cover will blow. And he'll start running at that skater. What I'm trying to say is that
We should do everything within our power to avoid distractions.
Yeah.
That is what blows our cover. If it is not going to serve the purpose of my own country, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how, you know, passionate is calling me, no matter how beautiful the girl that I'm falling in love is going to be, I'm not going to fall in love with her. And if you watch a lot of James Bond film, you realize that the girl he's falling in love with is also...
Yes,
so while he's falling in love with her, he thinks he's falling in love, but he's falling into a trap.
Yeah.
Every distraction that comes your way is a trap to distract you from your mission as an espionage. So you stay clear of, you will think, it's me. And this guy didn't want to do it, so it's me that is pursuing her. Mr. Man, she is the one that pursued you in the first place. You're just falling into a trap. They played it out that this was going to happen. At the end of the day, one day we wake up, realize that he has been handcuffed. And the girl will put a gun to his head. The girl will have gotten a lot of information about him and all his missions and everything, and then we put the people back in his own country into trouble. They have to now dispatch a rescue mission. So, focus on what the mission is. Like I said, it is the souls of men.
Mm-hmm.
Your mission is not a fat salary. Your mission is not to become the empty CEO, because that you cannot afford to spend your life on an organization.
Yeah.
Because that organization, if you are lucky that he dies, that you die before the organization. If you are lucky. Let me tell you, Apple looks very strong now, but our children might not use Apple.
Yeah.
Because like I gave you the statistics. What were big organizations only 58 years ago when are nothing to reckon with now, right now? So imagine somebody, a believer, tongue talking, endued with the Holy Spirit, and all he uses is what they used to call is spirit of excellence to achieve is to build an organization that can be teared down. Ordinary organization. I set an example of Daniel. Daniel is a man in the scriptures that would fit the description of all the allegories that have been making since. A man that, though he didn't go as an espionage, he was taken captive by the king of Babylon. But he rose through the ranks in Babylon. He was the third man. And while he was there, all that he was thinking of was Jerusalem.
Mm.
All that, he learned the language.
Mm.
He ate the food.
Mm-hmm.
He wore the clothes.
Mm.
He had their name. We are calling him Daniel. Yes. His name was like Belshazzar. So when they see him, they say Belshazzar. Nobody will call him Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
He had their name, he had their clothes, he had their food, he spoke their language. He had their craft. But while he was there, Jerusalem. To the point that while he was serving as a prime minister, he had visions of what would happen even in the far future while he was interceding for Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But while he was in Babylon, Babylon had splendor, great architecture. He was thinking of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, when they led Jerusalem, Jerusalem was in ashes. It was burning, the walls were down, the temple were burned, the street was smattered with dead body, vultures were eating them up. But it was what he was thinking of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. He rose through the ranks, he got married, you know, he had children, they were paying him fat salary, he had all the specs of the office and everything. And that is the way we will all have it. You will get your job in the banks, you will get your jobs in whatever. You will rise through the ranks, you will get married, you have the cars, you have the fat salary, you have everything that comes with life. It's the will of God. But remember that you are undercover. and you have a mission. And the mission is very possible. Because you are not alone. You know, when the espionage, they go, they will give them all sort of gadgets. They are wired. Brothers and sisters, you are wired. But your wiring is not in the body, it's in the spirit. You are wired. Everything you need is at your disposal. All that you just need to know is that I'm on a mission. I'm undercover. Sunday Elijah said, the USSR, they were going around the world. You know, like I said, every country has its own agenda and they're trying to propagate it. In the late 80s, when the Soviet Union was very strong and communism was the thing, they were going around the world trying to harvest the brightest mind from the countries, take them into USSR, indoctrinate them into communism, and send them back into their country to go and spread communism. So that's why they took Sunday Elijah on scholarship to Belarus, then it was in USSR, to come and study journalism so that he will be able to go back to his country to, you know, and I imagine that might come back to Nigeria to come and spread communism. We will have taken him by force. That man is a very strong man. But while they were doing that,
he had his
mission. He was going there undercover. Long story short, you all know the story. He built the largest church in Eastern Europe. Thousands upon thousands of white people. You will see his church, not even black. People that have never heard. You know, it's easier to preach the gospel in Nigeria because they already have an idea. People that have never heard. They don't even know what they're trying to say. They heard the gospel. They became saved. And they continued to reach on to others till it blew out into a mighty revival. We all know something like that. It's not a new story. The entire USSR, in fact, at the end of the day, communism got shattered, USSR pieces. But then, six, seven, eight countries already have been infiltrated. Lithuania, Estonia, Belarus, Russia itself, Ukraine, where he is still today. We have been infiltrated with the gospel, and his churches are in all. His churches, his ex-church, his churches are in all are in all those countries. People that they might not have never heard the gospel, if not for that. But he went there as an espionage. So even if you go back to Nigeria, and God is sending you to MTN, you are going there as an espionage. Remember, what you are going there to do is, I have 5 minutes more, what you are going there to do is to reason with them. So what is it that came in, we came from Acts 16 and 17, to reason with them about Jesus and the resurrection. So when you get to the marketplace, don't go and take the stall because you want to take the stall. You are taking the stall because you are undercover so that you can begin to reason with them. About Jesus and the resurrection. And I'm sure we understand what that means. So if God is sending you to South Africa and you're picking in a job in Stanbic or Standard Bank, for example, you're going there as an espionage. And if you will remain here, of course, see.
Glory.
We came here to Cyprus all together. But we are here undercover. And that is what our life will be. Don't spend your life, as I close, trying to build an organization. Forget it. It's not worth it. They will not last. They will not last. Apple, I tell you, Amazon is coming. Tesla is coming. They will overtake it and it will become irrelevant with time. And those ones too that overtake Apple, they will overtake it too. But the Church of Jesus
will continue to matter. Yes.
So we should commit our life. That is what it will worth. Apart from the reward that we will get in heaven. You can look down from the corridors of glory and say, this is what I gave my life to. You won't be looking for General Motors. Don't invest your life building any financial institution. It's not worth it. Or any music, whatever. You can do that because, you know, you have to do something undercover. Because if you blow your cover, it's not good. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. So, that is a believer with a mission. And I try to bring it into the graduate juncture because we are graduating, we will graduate, and then we will begin to choose career fields, we will begin to try to get into nations, we will begin to try to do things and all. But remember, we are on a mission. And there will be a shaking. Everything will be shaken, except for one thing that cannot be shaken, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. I'm sure you've been tremendously blessed. Always Fragrance is committed to spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ Jesus everywhere. If you would like to be in touch with the Bible teaching ministry of Always Fragrance, log on to www.alwaysfragrance.com/connect and we will be in touch with you. We would also love to connect with you on social media. Like our Facebook page, Always Fragrance, and follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Always Fragrance. To come your way with another biblical teaching, remain blessed.